So, well, first a comment, then a question. I think, to me, verse Psalms 94, verse 12 to 15, that to me is incredible.
That is a great passage.
Incredible. I think this is going to be, is the word for America right now. Wow. I have more comments on this, but I want to ask you a question about 150 chapters in general. There's, I think, 1,800 and something chapters in the Bible, or 100, it's more than 100, 1,100, something like that. How do you guys came up with just less than 2% of all the chapters of the Bible?
We had every Sunday afternoon, we had a discussion with about 25 leaders. They would always discuss in a sweet way, in a fun way too, criticize and try to find holes in what I shared the night before on Saturday night. Because that was the point, to find holes in it so we could correct, get the right thing. So that group of 25, I asked the question, or somebody did, how many chapters are there anyway? And nobody knew. I was guessing 50 or 60. And so those three guys or gals, whatever, they took the first five books. Those three took the next five. Those three took the next ones. Those three. And it took about a month or two, and they tabulated the list. And we'd never really know for sure until this CBETS. Like, I ran into a couple psalms I took off the list. I go, that's technically not an end-time chapter. But I didn't know for sure until I started. I go, wait, no, it's not. And we missed a couple psalms.
Sure.
And so there's over 150, actually. There's about, and so we've got it pretty clear, but we've missed one or two here or there. Yeah.
So cycle two.
Like Psalm 79, Psalm 80 probably should be on the list. Yeah. But I looked at it, and I only got three more weeks till. I go, nah, next time.
So that was 2000 what? 1?
No, I'm thinking it was 6. Because we started in 2002, the Sunday afternoon meetings. Probably as year 3 or 4, we did this. Because we did it for 5 years on Sundays. For 2 hours.
That to me is fascinating.
It really was.
Because you start with hundreds and then thousands.
Well,
of chapters,
I mean, those three took those five, you know, they all worked on together and came up with a list, and then people kind of debated, that's not in time. Hey, what about this one? And we didn't get it exactly right, but we've got it about 95% accurate.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Good. Miss, do you remember those days?
Okay. Due to coronavirus. Okay. I have a question kind of like regarding like the method of what you look at a lot of the 150 chapters, like the consistent pattern of like, you know, that exact detail didn't happen historically, so it must be speaking about the end times. And so I have a question regarding Psalm 18, because Psalm 18 is David describing his deliverance from Saul, and he's using all this really crazy language, God riding on the clouds, the foundations of the earth being laid bare. And that didn't happen historically, as far as we know, when we look back at 1 and 2 Samuel. So I'm curious, what are your interpretive thoughts about Psalm 18?
I would think on that, he's quoting, God did do that in the Moses story. And he's saying, the God of Moses, those five verses, deliver me. Versus, you did that figuratively in the invisible realm. God of Moses, come do it for me, some version of it. That's how I read it.
Okay.
I mean, I haven't studied Psalm 18. I know the overall message of it. I'm wondering, too, if Israel sees themselves in the prayer of David, like, because that it carries so much of the language, carries so much of what Israel will experience, that type of deliverance.
Yeah. No, I'm just interested, like.
But for David himself, it was for him, but it could have an application then.
Could have an application, probably not a fulfillment of it.
Yeah. Okay. I'll have to think about that.
That's a great question, because I think a lot of the other psalms, we're taking those literal in that sense. Psalm 18, we're taking it that way as David's prayer, but it's a good question.
Okay.
Well, since Mike already opened a can of worms about China, and I will add something to it. Okay, Psalm 94, verse 5, okay?
Yes.
They break in pieces your people. It's now. It's happening now in China. And you know, you probably heard about the Uyghurs in northern part, northwestern part of China, Xinjiang, or new territory. And because they are Uyghurs, they are, you know, they are not Han ethnic. And the Communist Party just arrest them randomly because they, because the differences. So they will put them in concentration camp for re-education. And
Re-education.
Yeah. Re-education, yeah. Yeah. And so they would just, not only the facial recognition, they also collected a lot of the, your biological information. So if there is customer for organ transplant, they harvest the organs live. Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Right. And also
harvest organs. Yeah, that's another
live. Thing. Yeah. Also, a country I don't want to mention the name. It's a Christian country, and last time I checked, they have 300,000 customers waiting.
For organs?
For organ transplant. So I just checked, DuckDuckGo instead of Google. And
so re-education camps and organ harvesting and organ selling of the
yes,
people they kill.
For profit.
That's a very, for profit. That's very,
for profit.
I didn't even think about that.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
And I just checked it, and only Breitbart reported a little bit, but even Breitbart is a little bit off because it says it's they did that on the prisoners, but they didn't say why those people were in the prison.
Yeah.
Okay, those were innocent people.
Right.
So I just want to add to it.
Well, amen. I think we're done.